Hello once again, ladies. I hope all of you are staying safe and keeping healthy. Once again, I'd like to say that I miss meeting with you in person, but I'm thankful that we have our tech ministry here at the church that makes it possible for us to meet this way. A reminder to message me if you have any prayer requests, and I'll pass those along. If you want those prayer requests to stay in our Bible study group, let me know that. If not, I'll pass them along to others as well. I have a prayer request myself. My brother-in-law, Vernon Barrow, will be having heart valve surgery on Wednesday morning. Please pray for a successful surgery and pray for his family as well. As a lot of you already know through practical experience, they're not allowed to go to the hospital except to drop him off and pick him up, probably on Thursday or Friday. It'll be especially tough for my sister, Sue. So I would appreciate it if you could remember them in your prayers. Let's open with prayer. Father God, I ask a blessing on our congregation and our towns that we live in. I pray that people will act wisely, that medical staff will have success in treating this terrible illness that's come upon the world. And I pray that you'll be with our study right now. Help us to feel the closeness that we have when we're together, even though we're apart. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Wednesday night group is studying women of the Bible through a video series, so I thought I would bring you a lesson about a woman from the Bible. This woman is described as beautiful and intelligent. Her husband, however, is described as surly and mean. It's Abigail and her husband Nabal. Their story is told in 1 Samuel 25, and I'd like to read the first three verses to get us started. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down to the desert of Paran. A certain man in Moan, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. Do you see the contrast between these two? Nabal is rough and evil. Other translations say he was churlish, mean and bad-tempered, crude and brutish. On the other hand, Abigail is sensible and beautiful, discerning and wise, understanding and prudent. Their names even highlight the differences in their personalities. The word Nabal means foolish, senseless, or ill-bred. According to verse 25 in the Message translation, he even acts out the meaning of his name when his servants say to Abigail, "Foolishness oozes from him." Abigail, on the other hand, means father of joy or source of joy, or my favorite way of thinking of her, leader of the dance. That just brings such a neat picture into my head of Abigail being somebody who promotes joy and community in other people. What an odd couple. Perhaps Abigail had high hopes for her husband when they first wed, but I'm sure it didn't take long for this wise, sensible woman to realize that her husband, who she acquired through an arranged marriage by her parents, was not the soft, cuddly type. Nabal was a great man, according to the King James Version. Now, it's helpful to remember that in the Old Testament, great is not referring to the quality of personality, but the quantity of his riches. So we should think of Nabal as a man of great material wealth, but a man of moral poverty. We find the story begins at a time of feasting in honor of the sheep shearing activity. The shearing of the sheep was a large operation, and evidently became a sort of festival. Sheep shearing is done in the springtime, usually May and June, either by the owners of the flock or by hiring of regular shearers who travel around and perform this service. The sheep are washed before they're sheared, and the shearing was carefully done so as to keep the fleece whole. David had spent the previous months hiding from King Saul in the vicinity of Nabal's wintering flock. While there, David and his men acted kindly to Nabal, guarding his flocks from marauders and refusing to take any of his sheep for their own use. When David heard that Nabal was hosting a shearing festival, he sent some of his men to ask Nabal for some food for his men in repayment for his services. But Nabal wouldn't be bothered. Verse 10 and 11 says, Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" So David's men returned to him and told him what happened. David is understandably upset and says, "Each of you strap on your sword." So they did, and David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. David said, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for evil. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." That's from verses 13 and 21 and 22. But Abigail was given a heads up about the situation. Verse 14. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He's such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Verse 18, Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As Abigail enters a ravine, while riding on her donkey, she sees David and his men coming toward her. She got down from her donkey and bowed low before David and begs for forgiveness for her husband's actions. She even says, "Please pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him." That's verse 25. She offers David the food she has brought to him and seeks his forgiveness. Next, Abigail pronounces upon David what many contemporary commentators consider to be a prophecy. Verse 28, "Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord, because you fight the Lord's battle, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant." That's verses 28 through 31. David accepted this gift from Abigail and told her to go home in peace. When she arrived home, Nabal was drunk from all the festivities, so Abigail wisely waited until morning to tell her husband what she had done. When he heard her story, verse 37, his heart failed him and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. When David heard about Nabal's death, he praised God for keeping him from sin and sent word to Abigail to become his wife, which she gladly accepted. So what can we learn from Abigail's story? Number one, take action when you can. Abigail was faced with a difficult decision when she heard about the incident between David and Nabal. Should she ignore the situation or take action? Abigail chose to take action. This was the most sensible path for this sensible woman. She could look ahead to discern the negative consequences of Nabal's action. She knew it was in her power to avert those consequences. She took action, knowing her husband. Abigail realized that talking to him about the situation would be useless, so she did what she could. We can't always ward off troubles from plaguing our lives, but when we can ward off troubles by doing good, that's the path to take. 1 Peter 3:8-12 reminds us not to repay evil with evil, but to take action and repay evil with good. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Number two, we can survive difficulties by trusting in God. Certainly Abigail could not have had an easy life married to Nabal. Though we don't know that he was physically abusive to her, she certainly felt the effects of his godless, evil personality. Yet she made it work. She survived. But please hear me carefully. God does not want any of his children to be treated abusively. Not emotionally, not physically, not verbally. If you are living in an abusive relationship, seek counsel from someone you trust and talk about your personal safety. Staying in an abusive situation is not God-honoring. There are options for you. You have friends who love you and will support you. Above all, lean on God during this difficult time. Staying was the right thing for Abigail, but it might not be the right thing for you and your children. God can and will help you through His Holy Spirit as you make decisions about your future. Your survival is the most important goal. 3. God gives wisdom to those who will accept it. God used Abigail as an instrument to impart his wisdom to David. According to Old Testament scholars, Abigail was one of 4 women of surpassing beauty in the world. The other 3 were Rahab, Sarah, and Esther. She is also listed as one of 7 Old Testament women prophets: Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, Sarah, Hannah, Esther, and Abigail. Abigail spoke to David, encouraged him not to sin by shedding blood in vengeance. That was godly advice for David. Later, when he learns of Nabal's death, he proclaims, "Praise be to the Lord who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head." Abigail also looked forward to David's lasting dynasty and success in his quest to be the king over Israel. This was a wise reminder to David that God was doing battle for him and he need not take vengeance for himself. David pronounced peace on Abigail, thanking her for her good judgment and for keeping him from bloodshed. Who is speaking to you, offering you wisdom and godly advice? Maybe you should listen to those people and consider their advice. God's wisdom often comes to us through the voice of a godly friend or mentor. Consider it carefully. Don't waste godly wisdom by ignoring it. Number 4, God rewards faithfulness. Abigail's story could have ended tragically for her. Her husband died, leaving her without property or protection. As a woman, she could not inherit the estate of her husband. Whoever inherited his wealth might or might not have acted compassionately towards her. She might have been blamed for his death. Whatever the situation, she faced an uncertain future. But we can see Abigail acting in faith throughout this story. She placed her trust in God and acted with discretion. She spoke kindly to David and pronounced God's blessing on his life. She remained with Nabal throughout his illness. God rewarded Abigail's faith. He caused David to accept her counsel. He caused David to act favorably towards her. He caused David to ask her to become his wife. He blessed their union with a child. God is always faithful to those who put their trust in him. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I'd like to close with the words of the writer of Hebrews from Hebrews 10:19-25. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, the day is approaching when we will be back together in our church building for Sunday services and Wednesday night Bible studies and for youth activities. But we're not there yet. I'd like to encourage you not to give up meeting together any way you can. And that includes these online sessions and Facebook. Maybe you can Skype somebody and have a face-to-face chat. Encourage one another through phone calls, text messages, Facebook, and in person if we happen to be standing 6 feet apart in the grocery store. Let's close with prayer. Our Father God, thank you for the ability to be able to be together even when we're forced apart. I pray a blessing on the church. I pray that we will not forget each other, that we will remember to pray for each other. And I pray, Father, your blessing on us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all, and I hope to see you real soon.